Turn in your Bibles this afternoon to the Psalms, chapter 37 of the Psalms. As I said this morning, we're at the last of those messages that we've entitled, a series that we've entitled, The 15 Road Signs of the Straight and Narrow. The one that we'll be considering today is to pray, but with purpose. As we said when we began this series, these are 15 things that God impressed upon me that I would like for Him to do for me. Began with to be loved, to be able to love, and to be lovable. And we come down to the last of these, and it is to pray, but with purpose. In Psalm chapter 37, in verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord." Verse 5, "Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And he, verse 6, "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." We'll end our reading there for the time being. But I wanted to center mainly upon verse 4. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Jesus makes the promise to us himself. When he walked upon this earth, he told his disciples, he said, "And whatsoever ye ask, I will give it to you." How about that? So what are you going to ask? According to his will. But the modern very world doesn't understand that way, do they? The modern day professing Christian just understands that whatever it is that they desire, God owes it to them. He ought to give it to them. That's his promise. That's what he promised to do. "Ask in my name and you shall receive it." Of course, they don't understand what it means to be in his name. That's where they miss it. That's the key to the understanding of it. It's whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. You know, for many years, I heard the last part of this verse quoted, "And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." That is a wonderful thought, isn't it? "He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." But that's only if your heart is pure. The desires of your heart are pure. If we go down back to 1 John chapter 3, we understand this to some degree because John says, "He that hath this hope in him does what? He purifies himself even as he is pure," even as Jesus is pure. That, again, goes back to Romans chapter 8 and Colossians chapter 3, where the apostle talks about this idea of mortifying the flesh, right? For if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall do what? You're going to live. Now, you know, people say, well, man, they'll do something, you know, or they see somebody else doing something, man, that's really living. Well, to a Christian, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, that's really living. To be in fellowship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit, that's really living. In fact, there isn't any other really living, is there? That is living, period. Everything else is death. But that's really living. So we have to qualify these things according to the word of the Lord and the will of the Lord. We can't just ask anything and expect to receive it. In our message this morning, we were talking about the fact that God saves us for a purpose. He really only saves us for one purpose, doesn't He? And that is to glorify His name. And so if we carry that over into the world of prayer, we have to understand then that if what we desire is to glorify the name of the Lord, then we can expect to receive it, can't we? 1 John chapter 3, for instance, in verse 22, he says, "And whatsoever we ask," that's a broad statement, right? And the health and wealth people, you know, they take that and they say, well, you know, I'm just going to ask Him for plenty of money. I'm going to ask Him to make me rich in this world's goods. I don't know what they do with 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For he that, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I don't know what the, you know, how do they balance these things? But you see, that's what I'm talking about when I say I want God to give me the spirit of prayer, but the spirit of prayer with purpose in it. Well, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of praying for material things? Look at verse 17 of 1 John chapter 2 there. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, what's those last three words? Abideth forever. And Brother Larry, that's really living, isn't it? That's really living. It continues on and on and on. There is no end to it, time-wise nor quality-wise. Quantity or quality, same thing. It continues forever. Verse 22 then, 1 John chapter 3, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments." Now, is He saying here then, what about it, Brother Jerry? Is He saying here that we're receiving because we're keeping the law? I mean, is God repaying us when He said He gives us these things? Isn't that what he says here? He says, because we keep his commandments. No, he's not repaying us. It's not a debt that God owes to us. Hold your finger right there and turn to the book of James. It's just a little ways further back there. James chapter 1, in verse 25, James says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed." But what is he going to be blessed in? He's going to be blessed in his deed. And that's what John is saying here. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." You see, in the love of the Lord, in loving God and keeping his commandments, that is what we desire. And so we receive that, because that is to the glory of God. Whether we understand it or not, God never gives us anything simply because of us. You understand what I mean? If you had to wait until God gave you something just because you're you, you'd never receive it, would you? Why do you think that he gave you salvation? And by the way, it was a gift, wasn't it? It is a gift, isn't it? Sir? Yes. Because he loved us in Christ Jesus. We are accepted in the beloved. Right. So that's why God gives us things. Are we the beneficiaries of many good things? Oh, yeah. Can you begin to name them? No. But yet, it's not for our sakes that God gives all of these things to us, but it is for his, again, name sake. Hold your place there and turn to the 103rd Psalm. In the 103rd Psalm, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not" what? "All his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And by the way, what is your heart's desire? Isn't that what our heart's desire is? To be forgiven our iniquities, to have all of our diseases. And these diseases here, he's not talking about cancer. He's talking about sin, isn't he? Now, does God sometimes heal cancer? Yeah, he does. But guess what? Sometimes he doesn't. But if he heals you 100 times, what's ultimately going to be your end? You're going to die. One's to die. So, why did he heal you? For his glory. That's it. But there are many benefits. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, and so forth and so on. But then we turn over to the 115th Psalm, and let's see what he says here. Verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. So there's the key to it, isn't it? So back in 1 John, then, chapter 3 and verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. We are blessed in our deed. Do you believe that holiness is beautiful? Why do you believe that? Just because the Bible says it? Does worship him in the beauty of holiness? Is that the reason you believe that? We believe it not only because the Word of God says it, but we experience it. We behold the glory of the Lord. And his holiness is beautiful to us. And so that is the reason that his commandments are not what? Grievous. We are blessed in our deed. Verse 23 of 1 John chapter 3 says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Now, again, sometimes, you know, the way that the language is written, it almost seems like it's getting the cart before the horse, doesn't it? In other words, some people would read this again and they would say, we keep his commandments and then Christ will come and dwell in us. But no, keeping his commandments is the proof that Christ dwells within us. So as we look at these things, we have to understand what he means by delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. The key to it is the first part, isn't it? To delight thyself in the Lord. It all comes down to thy will be done. Hallowed our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now we use that verse 20, a lot of times to comfort ourselves, you know, where there is just two or three people. And, you know, we say, well, you know, the Lord is still amongst us. And he is. It is good for that. But the context of this is set in these words of Jesus here, and it's connected to this. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Well, let's see. Brother Larry, what is it that we'd like to... Man, we could think of all kinds of things we could agree on, right, that we would love to have. So, And that's the way, again, the modern so-called Christian world thinks of it. If two of us or three of us, you know, we get together, God has to do whatever we ask Him, because that's what He promised. But they simply don't understand that, again, it comes back to the glory of God. Why? Because God is some tyrant that He really doesn't care about anybody else. He doesn't care about you or me or anything else. He's just a tyrant that's going to have His way. I'm afraid that is the way that most people look at the commandments of God. And that's why if they ever do anything that resembles obeying the commandments of God, it's because He's ruling them with a rod of iron. But is He ruling us with a rod of iron? Does He have to rule His people with a rod of iron? No. As Paul begins in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "But as dear children." What? As dear children. What is a dear child? It's one that loves his father, loves his mother, that honors and obeys. That's what a dear child is. A dear child is dear because it's the eyes of the parents that are looking at him, or it's the way that the parents look at him. It's not the way that he looks at himself. So when we, you know, a dear child sometimes asks things of his parents that are not good for him or the parents, right? It's not good for the family. And when that happens, what's the parent going to say? Well, if he's right, if he does what's right, if he does what is good, he'll say no. Sometimes we ask for things that God does not give to us. You know what? Sometimes I ask God for things that, you know, as far as I can tell, I desire those things for the glory of God. But He may not give them to me. Why? Because I don't, at that particular point, I don't understand the glory of God as God understands or means that glory. You see, if it isn't, if what you and I ask for, even though our intentions may be of the very best kind, if it does not work into the overall purpose of God, I'm talking about the end result, then it's not according to the will of God. Now, I know that these things, at least for me, maybe they're not for you, but for me, sometimes I have a hard time reconciling these things. You know, it's difficult for me to figure all that out. But I'm not supposed to figure it out, am I? I'm supposed to be a dear child. Now, I can guarantee you that, again, when I was a child, there was a lot of things that I asked my parents for that they wouldn't give me. And sometimes I couldn't understand, well, just why not? Now, I learned when I was pretty young not to really do too much pushing on it, but you know, that's another strange thing, you know. I never really thought that my parents were refusing me anything because they hated me. And you know, I don't, as a kid growing up, and I imagine JT can probably, confirm this, but you know, I just don't ever remember Daddy or Mother, either one, ever telling me that they loved me. But I knew that they did. Why? How did I know that? I knew it because they took care of me. And they did everything that they could, that was in their power, to do right by me. Now, were they perfect? No. They weren't perfect. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you about one that is. You see, our Father in heaven is not just our Father. He's our heavenly Father. I've never stopped to count it, but you know, I'm oftentimes impressed with Jesus, you know, talking about His heavenly Father, which is Father in heaven. There's something important about that in heaven part of it. And it simply means that He is perfect in every aspect of His love towards His children. So if I really want to pray right, then I have to pray with a purpose, and that purpose has to be, Thy will be done. Lord, I do want Your glory to shine forth. Now, another example of that, of course, is David. What did David want to do? What was one of the greatest ambitions, I guess you could put it and say, of David's life? What was it that he wanted probably more than anything else on earth? Right. He wanted to build God a house. Do you want to build God a house? Well, in a way you do, don't you? And you know, David let it be known to the prophet Nathan that he wanted to build this house. And you know what Nathan said? Go do whatsoever is in thy heart. But it wasn't very long, and what happened? God showed up on the scene. God came to Nathan, and He sent Nathan to David, and he said, no, I'll build you a house. But was there anything wrong with David's intention? No. His intentions were pure. Then what was the problem? Well, first of all, David was a man of war. And so that didn't fit into the typology of the temple, because the temple is a place of what? And so in the wisdom and knowledge and purpose of God, he said, Solomon will build the temple. But now, here's the thing, one thing, that didn't stop David, nor did the Lord stop David from gathering the materials. A lot of times, you see, we just want to go farther than God intends for us to go. And sadly, most of the time, I'm afraid, we just don't want to go far enough, do we? We just want to go as far as it meets our purposes. But God, thankfully, God corrects us on all of these things. When our way doesn't coincide with His way, then He will correct us. He'll either instruct us by the Word, and if we just too, hard-headed about it, He has a way of getting our attention, doesn't He? And thankfully so, again. Because deep down in our hearts, that is what we desire. The psalmist then has understanding here, delight. Now here's another key word, isn't it? Delight thyself. Also in what? In the Lord. There's those two key words there. First is delight. And Sister Joyce, do you ever delight in anything? What does that mean, to delight? Don't know, right? It's something that you're overjoyed with. Because that is to be like Christ. A body hast thou prepared thee. To do what? To do thy will, O God. I come, O God, in the volume of the book. It is written, I come, O God, to do thy will. It didn't say it just once in a while. It's in the volume of the book. The fact of the matter is, you see, that Jesus came to fulfill, right? He came to fulfill every jot and every tittle. Not one jot or one tittle of the law would fail until it is, how complete is it going to be? Until everything is fulfilled. Now some people are going to say, well, Jesus fulfilled it, therefore the law is gone. Jesus did fulfill the law. Every jot and every tittle of it. In His life. But you know, do you understand that the law of God encompasses the entire not only creation, but the entire being of God Himself. And it cannot pass away completely because it is the essence of God. To delight thyself, but we're not to delight ourselves in things. Our delight has to be in the Lord Himself. Once again, there are many things that I pray for. There are many things that I pray earnestly for. And my Bible says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. Does that mean then that every time that we're sincere in our prayers that it's going to just happen? No, it's not the sincerity that counts. It's the will of God. But we can be fully assured of this. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. Because you cannot have righteous desires and not have that delight in the Lord. But on the other hand, if you have that delight in the Lord, then your desire will be filled. They will be right. Again, and let me emphasize this, and the reason I emphasize it is because there's so much misinformation being put out by the religious world today. But God only cares about your material and physical means as it coincides with and accomplishes His purpose for you to glorify His name. Why is it that God allows many of His people to be martyred? Does He doesn't care anything about their... Does He just delight in seeing people suffer? No. But He does delight in seeing His people suffer for His name's sake.
Now, once again, I'm so thankful that God has not left us to ourselves even in prayer. Have you ever prayed something? On the one hand, we understand sometimes that we know what we're praying for, and yet God doesn't give it to us. But have you ever prayed something and really not understood what you were praying for, and yet God still gave it to you? You understand what I'm saying?
The truth of the matter is, how many times do we pray when we really understand what God's purpose is? We may have some vague idea of it. But I am so thankful for the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You ever find yourself in that position? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? According to the will of God. And then look at the next verse. You see, we often quote this verse, don't we? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But, you know, sometimes we ought to think about these things in their context. And if we did, we would understand them much better. But you see, the reason all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, is because that the Holy Ghost is interceding in our behalf to set forth those things that please God. Now again, I've heard this verse quoted by I don't know how many people, and you know, when I understand their understanding of it, it makes me kind of cringe. Because again, their understanding is that no matter what it is in this world, you know, it works out for good. And in one respect, that is true. But is it going to the sin work for good? If you disobey God, is that going to work for good? Well, that's kind of a yes and no question, then. No, it's not going to work for good, because when David, for instance, when David sinned with Bathsheba and against Uriah, what good did that do? And yet, simply because of the mercy of God, it ultimately did work for good. But what I'm getting at is this, that a person that does not have the mind of Christ, a person that is not continually saying in the depths of his soul, "Thy will be done." If a person like that sins, it's not going to work for his good. It's ultimately going to work for his damnation.
It's only then as we delight ourselves in the Lord that He gives unto us the desires of our heart. And so that is the reason that my prayer to God first is that I might pray what? Do you think you can pray just any time you get ready to? Sometimes I think a lot of our prayers are just vain repetition. But did you ever go through seasons when, as the old writers used to say, the heavens above are brass and the earth beneath is iron, or vice versa? I don't remember. Yeah. It's barren, isn't it? Do you ever go through those seasons? And sometimes, you know, you feel like sometimes you don't even want to pray. Maybe I'm the only one that does that. I tell you one thing, when my life is like that, it scares me to death. But there are times like that. But then, thanks be to God, I pray. He brings that desire back. But see, that's why I'm opposed to habitual, not only prayer, but I mean any kind of service of God. Anything that's just a habit is that really worshiping and serving God? No, unless there is a delight there. But God in His mercy, He brings these things back to us or us to them. And so, again, it is my prayer, first of all, that God would just make me pray. And secondly, that He would make my prayers to have a purpose to them. That purpose being the glory of my God, my Lord, my Savior. I think of God in four ways. He is my God, my Father, my Lord, and my Savior. That pretty well covers everything, doesn't it? But as J.T. read this morning in Colossians chapter 2, we are what in Him? We are complete in Him. So if God in His mercy and grace will keep me on that straight and narrow path, I know where it's leading to. Amen. The Lord, help me to pray, but with purpose.